let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, Coast to Coast, a journey of mystery, excitement, and learning. That's what one review says of the historical fiction, The Divinative Inquiry, from the author Dennis Gaffin. Set in 1890 at the peak of the British Empire, church dominance, and the spread of alternative paradigms in religion and science, The Divine Inquiry details a mystery surrounding the controversial mystic Madame Blavatsky. In-depth historical research, comparative religion, mysticism, hidden politics of church and empire, a remarkable book receiving accolades from across the globe. Author Dennis Gaffin, Ph.D., is professor of anthropology at the State University of New York, College Buffalo. He's written several nonfiction books as well as academic and popular journals. He currently lives in upstate New York and Toronto. The Divine Inquiry is his first novel, taking historical mystery fiction to another level. Dennis Gaffin is joining us on This Week in America. Dennis, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks a lot. Hi, Rick. How's it going?
It is going well, and I'm looking forward to this. Such a fantastic job that you did on the book. And before we get into the characters in the storyline, talk about the inspiration for this book, where it came from. I understand it was part your curiosity and part what you were teaching in the classroom.
Yes, that's true. Well, I've always been interested in the issue of authenticity or truth, the degree to which people actually believe and act according to what they say they believe or do believe. Nowadays, we use the word sometimes fake access that issue. And I was long interested in this controversial but generally unknown character of the late 19th century, Madame Blavatsky, who was a very controversial figure and mystic of her day. And many people thought that she was a charlatan. Many people thought that she was an ascended being. And she had quite an influence on the 20th century's new age. So I thought that through that exploration, I might be able to come up with even some issues about my own authenticity.
You know, it's interesting because you raise issues that are issues that we're discussing even in contemporary times. It's all in the book, The Divine Inquiry. The beginning of the book, you say, many thought she was an authentic mystic. Others thought she was a charlatan, and she knew she was a charlatan. The religious fame and infamy, hers, worldwide. Church officials as well as radical labor organizers thought she was dangerous. You still described her just a little bit there, but why was she dangerous? She really was a character that people were trying to figure out one way or the other, is she or isn't she?
Well, there were several reasons why she was dangerous. One was because she was a bold, outspoken woman in Victorian times, which was not so common. But more so, she discarded a lot of the beliefs of the British Empire and its colonial interests and in its church doctrines. That is, she was dangerous to the dominance of the church at the time and was dangerous to the empire. She believed in the independence of different countries that were under colonial rule, and she challenged the authorities of the church.
Something that wasn't done at that time. She moves to London in 1885 after traveling the globe, establishing spiritual centers, and really created a controversy when she was in London. Let's talk about another character that enters as you're telling the story, Paul Hartley. Fascinating character. Talk about how he enters the picture and what lies ahead for him.
Well, of course, Madame Blavatsky was a real historical figure. Paul Hartley is a fictional character. He was a professor of divinity in the School of Divinity in Cambridge, England at the time. And he was more or less compelled by his bosses of the theology school to travel across the globe to investigate a murder and the associated authenticity of Blavatsky. The church was interested in disproving her authenticity, whereas others, of course, followed her avidly.
The book we're talking about on the program today, The Divine Inquiry by Dennis Gaffin, our guest on the program. The book is available at Amazon, of course, and you can link on directly to the website, the Amazon link with information on the book, The Divine Inquiry, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. he discovers a body. I mean, this is interesting how this all unfolds, and get ready for a ride once you start reading the book. Talk about finding the body and where that leads him.
Well, the core of the book actually centers around a body floating in the Bosphorus near, at the time, Constantinople, which of course today is Istanbul. And at first it was unknown what she died of, but she was found. And later on, without giving too much of the plot away, it was discovered that she was murdered. And it was unclear, of course, who murdered her. And therefore, it became quite an issue during the day. Now, of course, remembering that this is a fictional event, although set in historical times.
Talk about the research for this, because, yeah, you go from this real person to telling a story around her. That's the fiction part of it, the historical fiction part of it. Talk about the research and taking this real-life person and putting her into this fictional setting.
Well, as a professor and researcher in comparative religion for a number of years now, and as a person who's traveled a decent amount across the globe, I've always had some exposure to alternative, what could be called alternative from the West, religious and spiritual programs. So I've always been a little bit open to various ways of understanding the cosmos, if you will. So when I came across her as a person who was in her time quite unorthodox with similar thinking, I became quite intrigued.
Let's talk about Paul. Paul, once again, as he takes off on this mission, this investigation that he's on, it takes him to a number of places. He gets to interview a number of people, all crucial to the story. Again, without giving away a whole lot, tell us a little bit about the adventure, because his life is really in danger a lot as he's going through this.
Yeah, there are several times during the novel that that he and his graduate student sidekick are literally in peril. He starts out in London, goes to Ireland, then goes to Greece, then goes to Thrace, and then further on to India. And he encounters a variety of people that he's chosen to interview who have had experience with or have knowledge of Madame Blavatsky, to figure out whether or not they actually think she's the real deal, as it were, or whether she's a charlatan. So he ends up meeting a number of different characters from different parts of the world, remembering that this is the late 19th century before modern technology. So travel was an issue, of course. And, you know, encounters a variety of sort of exotic landscapes and remote locales.
How did your view of her change as you did research and wrote the story? Did it evolve as a change any as you were doing this?
Yes, I believe it did. You know, in my research, I came to end up reading some of her books or parts of her books, and came to really respect her as a scholar and as a thinker. And that had not really come out very much in the controversies and in the books that had been written about her over the last 100 years or so. So I came to have a lot of respect for her intelligence and her sense of purpose, which you don't really get much of a sense of from a lot of the readings about her.
One review said that you were able to bridge the world of academia, docudrama, and adventure. Talk about that. That's probably a lot easier to say than it was for you to do, to weave in all of those elements into the first novel. How did you go about doing that? And was it a challenge to keep that balance there?
It certainly was. With an academic background, of course, I had been most used to scholarly research, and now bridging into fiction, I had to be careful about becoming too academic. The docudrama part of the novel is evident in what could be called miniature lectures that several characters in the book give about various aspects of religion and spirituality and truth. And therefore, I had to be cautious that I was not too pedantic in the writing. But I think it comes across as a good blend of sort of pure adventure alongside a little bit more academic or scholarly pursuits.
Well, there's the mystery there. There's the excitement there as we're reading it. And as we're going through, we're doing some thinking. Was that part of what you wanted us to get out of it, besides the entertainment aspect of this, but the fact that maybe we can relate to some of the issues that you discuss in the book?
Yes, it's definitely, I think, for some people, a challenge to their own worldviews, because it does present various religions and spiritual approaches across the globe in an open-minded, sort of respectful way. So it may challenge people to the chauvinism that we all have to one extent or another with our own personal beliefs or religious doctrines. So I think some people may find it engaging more than just as entertainment, but as something that could potentially help us be a little bit more self-aware.
What did you learn as you were doing the research for this? Back to the comparative religion part that we talked about, Victorian times, the thought process at the time. Was this an eye-opener for you as the researcher and writer?
I think so. That is to say, I think I've become much more of a perennialist or a universalist, a person who ends up respecting the truth, as it were, of all religions. And therefore, it helped me understand myself a little bit better.
The book is The Divine Inquiry by Dennis Gaffin. Book available, of course, wherever books are sold, and Amazon link at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Madame Blavatsky was a co-founder, as I understand, in like 1875, somewhere around there, at the Theosophical Society. Co-founder she was. Talk about that. This is interesting. I mean, I'm fascinated by this lady. I had not heard of her before, and suddenly I'm getting familiar with her, and a fascinating real-life character.
Right. Well, the word theosophy with a small t has been around for a few hundred years, which basically points to the direct experience of spiritual connection with a divine entity or a divine place, without the use of a lot of ritual or houses of worship or even religious leaders, a mystical approach, basically. But in the late 19th century, she founded a school called the School of Theosophy with a capital T, which became a worldwide movement with tens of thousands of people who were interested in breaking out of their traditional roles. And it called for a universalism. It called for an equality of all people, equality of all religions, and therefore became somewhat controversial, but was quite an attraction to people who were kind of, as it were, ahead of their time, because theosophy, while still quite active in various places in the world, was also quite influential in the new age of the 20th century, setting the groundwork for the introduction of Eastern religions into the West, particularly Buddhism and Hinduism.
One of the themes that you talk about in the book, The Divine Inquiry, Dennis Gaffin, the author, is our guest on the program, and you mentioned it at the beginning of the interview, authenticity. Talk about that, because this is something, and I think you said you learned something maybe about your own authenticity. And you can't help but, when you read the book, start questioning and thinking about that. Talk about the role of authenticity. And do we even have it anymore? We seem like we sort of want to mold ourselves for social media. We want to be accepted by everybody. Everybody's giving us an opinion, a hot take. I'm not sure we have any authenticity of our own anymore. What do you think?
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Rick. I think it's an important topic of today's times. Of course, now with the issue of fake news and multiple religious persons and so forth, it becomes perhaps even of more rare. So I'm interested in the extent to which I'm an authentic person and actually act out and talk out what I really believe. And of course, with the distractions of social media and so forth, people are finding it harder and harder, I think, especially the younger generation, actually trying to figure out who they are, because their attention is drawn by so many other things, and they get, as it were, addicted to social media and hardly have any time at all to actually have an inner life, as it were, of their own.
It's interesting because we see so much on there, and we're in envy sometimes of what is perceived to be somebody else's persona or life as they portray it on social media. We get so caught up maybe wanting to emulate them, we sort of forget, as you said, who we are, and we certainly don't spend a whole lot of quiet time anymore in reflection. A few minutes left on the program, religious tolerance. We've talked about this a couple of times. Talk about your thoughts on that, because this is something, it's an important theme in the book, The Divine Inquiry, and certainly something that we have to give a lot of thought of now. There's a lot of hatred out there between religions.
For sure. Yeah, well, you know, that's a tough subject, Rick, and obviously...
You got 2 minutes to do it, so good luck.
But it would seem to me that exposing oneself either directly or via literature to alternative models of the way the reality is set up or the way that people think reality is set up is a good starting point for religious tolerance, right? So many people are uninformed about the nature of other people who they don't have contact with. So it seemed to me that education and reading and exposure to those other religious groups would be one way to start breaking out of the bubbles that many of us find ourselves in.
For your first novel, you've written about a really a fascinating character. You've brought up a number of themes that were, of course, popular themes, relevant themes back during the time period of the book, are still relevant themes today. What are you doing for another book? What was, first of all, the experience like writing the first novel? How was that? I mentioned before you've done nonfiction and done a lot of articles. The first novel, how was that experience for you?
It was great, actually. I broke out a little bit of the confines of academic or scholarly writing, and obviously a novel is a little bit more open to the imagination and creativity. Yeah. So I was able more so to put some of my own personal experiences into the book, which was quite liberating and freeing, and would have a great time just sort of thinking about ideas and using some of them, discarding other ones, and so forth. So it was really freeing for me as a person to see the creative side of myself, the more creative side of myself. So I do have plans to write another fictional novel, and I've just started to work on that one.
How long did it take to write this book?
Well, I've been working full-time as a professor for the last number of years, so it took me probably about 2 years to write the novel. Of course, it takes time, of course, to edit it and so forth, but probably about 2 years.
Well, we'll be looking forward to the follow-up that from our guest on the program, Dennis Gaff, and the book we're talking about, The Divinative Inquiry. The book's available at the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can look on directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, to the Amazon site. You can purchase the book, get information on the book there as well. Dennis, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Excellent job receiving, as I said, international acclaim for the book that you've done, the first novel. Congratulations on the success of the Divine Inquiry. It's been great having you on the program. Hopefully, we'll have you back. Thank you. This has been a fun conversation. Dennis Gaffin, author of the book, The Divine Inquiry. Information on where the book is available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
Take care now. Thank you.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.